You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone and welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Wednesday, the 20th of August 2025. It's a day where the Australian share market rose a quarter of a percent to 8,918. That's on the S&P ASX 200. Seven of the 11 sectors finished higher. The best performing consumer discretionary up 1.9%, the worst materials down 2.3%. If we look at the best and worst performers on the index, the best HMC Capital up 17%, followed by Centura Capital, 11% firmer. The worst performers included Yancoal Australia, down by 11%, but the worst by far, James Hardy Industries, giving up 27.8% today. It follows its quarterly profit numbers and an update on its US business, which reflects partially the US economy. So to find out more about that and the day's market action, I spoke with Luke Larative, CEO of Seneca Financial Solutions.
Yeah, Ricardo, I think there's a divergence in sentiment today. On one hand, you've got the energy and mining sector is down 1.2% on sort of softer commodity prices. And you've also got these tech names, you know, the likes of NextDC, Macquarie Telecom, who are all kind of, you know, data center operators. And they're down sort of 2 to 5% on these AI bubble concerns that have sort of bubbled up overnight. So, you know, but the ASX is still up 0.2% today. And that's really just due to the weightings and the nature of our index is so defensive when we've got, you know, banks and property trusts, non-bank financials making up, you know, big portions of the index. So I think from our perspective, you know, from our Australian perspective, you know, it's actually a reasonable sort of risk off environment for us.
You mentioned AI. I wouldn't mind talking about that in a bit because in the US, we saw shares generally weaker, particularly the tech-based NASDAQ overnight. A lot of those techie AI stocks are falling quite hard. NVIDIA down 3.5%, Palantir 9.4% weaker. Are there any general concerns about AI at the moment? Is this just a blip? And how much of it has to do with the potential for US interest rates to be on hold for longer? Because Jerome Powell is also talking later this week.
Yeah, I think this particular sell-off's kind of on the back of Sam Altman, the OpenAI founder's kind of warning to investors overnight to sort of not get carried away with AI hype. And there's also, you sort of couple that with OpenAI is doing this $500 billion sort of valuation sell down where they've got $6 billion worth of OpenAI stock that's owned by insiders and staff getting sold. And then you hear about Meta kind of restructuring its AI division. It was kind of a confluence of negativity around the AI sector. So I can, you know, you can kind of see why investors may be getting a little bit nervous, particularly after such a strong run. I think with respect to the Fed, markets are in a little bit of a holding pattern around this Jackson Hole speech. The rates of a September rate cut in the US, the probability of a September rate cut in the US is still elevated. It's still up at around 83%. And the market's still pricing in, you know, further cuts for 2025. But, you know, there is some sort of speculation that that maybe is a bit too bullish and, you know, that Jerome Powell's going to keep rates higher for longer. So I think maybe this weekend speech will give us some more guidance.
Okay, our profit reporting season rolls on here in Australia. Which ones are you focusing on? Why? And is there anything in them that gives us an idea of how Australian companies or those that are listed in the Australian share market are faring in the US?
Yeah, there's a number of sort of Australian success stories that have over the journey gone over to the US and done really well, but they're actually really struggling with their sort of exposure to tariffs and the US consumer. I mean, James Hardie is the big one from today. You know, it's down sort of 25% on earnings that missed expectations by, you know, 20% essentially and fell 21%. Its US housing exposed business sort of is pretty weak. Single family home construction slowing, and particularly in the southern parts of the US. So they've got some sort of pressure on margins and guidance looks, you know, really focused on cost control, which for a growth company is not what you want to hear. Could kind of sort of see a similar, maybe not quite so bad picture over at somewhere like plumbing parts supplier Reliance Worldwide. They had profits up 13.5%, but that was mainly driven by an acquisition they made last year, Holman. So, you know, demand's still remaining soft and tariffs are kind of impacting them. They're doing a good job at managing it, but they're certainly having to de-risk that supply chain away from China, and they want to be out of China manufacturing altogether by FY27. If you go more on the consumer side in the US, you look at something, say, like Breville, which did put out, strong numbers, revenues up almost 11%, profits up kind of 15%. But they're also, producing 90% of their coffee machines in China. And so they're attracting, 54% tariffs from the US now, where they have to sell sort of 45% of their finished goods. So, they're trying to diversify their manufacturing base as well, moving into places like Mexico and other parts of Southeast Asia. So it's certainly going to put pressure on costs and potentially margins for them as well.
Okay, any trends that you're seeing from profit reporting season at the moment, whether that be in the results or in any other commentary?
I think there's definitely been a clear rotation, I suppose, away from these large cap kind of expensive defensives that have been, the rage this year and been the best performing parts of the market with the best momentum. And they're sort of that money's sort of shifting and getting more into these sort of value style, often smaller businesses. I think from our portfolio and perspective, property's holding up really well as a sector. We've seen some strong results and returns from the likes of property conveyancing technology provider PEXA, as well as, realestate.com, REA Group, both reporting well. I think outside of the industrials, more into the resources sector, those mining adjacent services businesses, the likes of XRF Scientific, Emeco, Monadelphous, have all been benefiting from these elevated gold prices, which are kind of supporting elevated levels of activity in that sector and pretty good earnings and confidence across the mining sector.
And finally, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Right now, it's all about cash flow and resilience. Investors are kind of rewarding businesses that can show strong recurring revenue and real profitability, and not just kind of narratives and hype, which has sort of been, largely what's driven markets for the first sort of 7 or 8 months of the year. I think, a stock like Energy One, EOL, proved that today. It's up 8% on a 13% jump in cash recurring revenue. And we kind of think it's indicative of how the rest of August is going to play out, with maybe some more of these sort of recurring revenue technology businesses operating in, defensive sectors, performing well. We like kind of Objective Corp, OCL, and SiteMinder over the coming days.
That is Luke Larrative there from Seneca Financial Solutions, and it wraps up this podcast for this Wednesday. Don't forget to give it a review or a rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify if you enjoy it, and to click subscribe.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.